So this is the Happy House Hunters, and we go through a series of how to find real estate, how to fund it, and then how to fix it, how to flip it if you decide you want to flip it, or how to fill it if you want to do a buy and hold. And then finally, what is your freedom number? How many of these do you have to do to make that day job optional? And so that's what we're talking about today. Today we have Kyle. He is our in-house realtor, and he works for a ton of people, not just me. But he does get us into any properties that we want to get into here in the Central Ohio area. I don't know, Kyle, how far out will you go? How what's your range, so to speak?
Well, if you're buying in Ohio, I will drive anywhere in Ohio.
Okay, you
So
heard it here.
I'm
Yeah. Okay, so we have Andrea from Columbus, Ohio. Where is everybody else from? Put in the chat where you're from. And Tom, I see that you have your hand raised already. Do you have a question already? Or were you just practicing the hand raising? Not sure.
excited. I love it.
Yes. Oh, okay. So we've got Westerville. We have Newark. Oh, Newark's a hot area. Okay. Where else? Washington, D.C. Tom from Washington. Oh, he hit the button by accident. Washington, D.C. Okay. Yeah, I love it. I love it. I love it. All right. I'm just making sure that everybody that's attending can actually ask a question so we can have a conversation as we go on. But raise your hand so that we're not talking over top of each other. And that way I can call on you. We can do up to, I think, 25 or 30 on the main screen. It's just now 12:03. So some other folks may jump on board. Right now there are just seven of us on. So who, let me see, but I only see six. So who do we have that I don't have on there? Anyway. Yep, it looks like everybody's there. So I am going to tell you a little bit about the Happy House Hunters. We started several years ago, and we went to one of those convention center things on how to invest in real estate. And we didn't know what we didn't know, so we showed up. And we sat in the audience of several hundred people. And at the end of that presentation, and if any of you have ever been into any of these types of convention center meetups, at the end of that presentation, they had tables across the back, and they were like, the first 10 people to get to the table and give us your $20,000 or whatever it was at the time, we will show you how to do this. So it was kind of like an in-person big infomercial, if you will. And then at the very end, it was one of those things where you could spend the money and then learn more, go deeper. And so we decided, if we had, not that I had, $20,000 or whatever it was at the time. But if I had that kind of money, I would use it as a down payment on a piece of real estate instead of actually going back and buying some program for $20,000. And so a group of us, maybe, I don't know, three couples of us, maybe six of us, we got together afterward and said, why don't we just meet up once a month and see if we can't figure this out on our own? And then if a year from now we're not immersed into the real estate investing, we'll maybe think about signing up for some big, guru program or whatever. So we just started kind of on our own, and just started small. And I now have 28 doors. I've been at it for about 20 years, and so I have 28 doors now. And we decided we never did go back and join the big gurus. We just kind of figured it out on our own. So we started a group like this so that we can bring our questions to the table. So anybody that has a question, please ask it here. This is what we're all about. We want to help you on wherever you are in your real estate investing journey. And but today's overarching main topic is how to find the deals. But again, we want to help you, no matter where you are in your journey. So with that said, I also started an international academy, and it is a membership site. You get the entire academy for 25 bucks a month, so it's really inexpensive. And buried inside that academy in the Happy House Hunters Lane, and you'll see the icons there. It's very easy to find out. To see, we have a resource center where if you're looking to find or fund or fix or flip or fill, We have all the information that you need, everything from contractors that we have used, all the way to copies of lease agreements and 3-day notices. And even if you're not in the state of Ohio and you're in a different state, I can lead you to the right person if you have those kind of questions. Now, we do have a Happy House Hunters Facebook group. So for all of you that are on this call, please join the group, Happy House Hunters. It's on Facebook. We also have a meetup group over in meetup.com, and it is also under the Happy House Hunters. So feel free to join there. And if any of you are coming to us through the newbie real estate investors or through the landlord ladies, those are all subsidiary groups of the Happy House Hunters. So you are in the right place. So with that, I am going to turn it over to Kyle, and I'm going to let him tell us a little bit about who he is, what he does, how he got into this business, and then he's going to lead us through some ways to find your next best deal, depending on what you're looking for. Now, in the meantime, please put over in the chat, so we're not all talking at once, what is it that you're trying to find? Do you want a long-term rental? Do you want a short-term rental? Do you want a midterm rental? Do you want to flip? You're just looking to buy something to flip? Are you a wholesaler? Tell us over in the chat where it is that you fit into the real estate investing. And so I'm going to let you type that in there while Kyle is telling us about finding. Kyle.
Well, thanks, Kathy. Again, my name is Kyle Brandon, as Kathy said, and I work with Kathy in the Happy House Hunters. I'm also now a published author. I'm a staff writer on her Freestyle Living magazine. If you haven't checked that out, you need to get on that. That's really, really cool. I work for Kathy in the real estate realm, and like she said, I work for everybody, but she really is my favorite. Shh, kind of biased. I have been in the industry for 11 years now. As Kathy said, if she had a time machine, she'd go back and instead of spending $20,000 on a program, right, you'd spend $20,000 on a property, right? I've been in the business now 11 years. If I had a time machine, boy, wouldn't I go back and buy a bunch of properties, right, in all the right neighborhoods. Who here doesn't want access to a time machine, right? So I guess the moral of that story is, get started now. Whatever you're on the fence about doing, you're going to be kicking yourself in 10 or 20 years later saying, I wish I would have done it. But doing it all starts with finding, and that is today's topic. So we're going to talk about finding some deals and why it's hard to find some deals. Does anybody know why it's hard to find some deals right now? It's because there's not a lot of inventory out there in Columbus. Can I share my screen? Is that
You
possible?
may, as a matter of fact, let me just go over and make you co-host, which I should have done already, and I didn't, and that will allow you to share your screen.
Okay, I just wanted to show you guys some stuff here. What is it giving me the option to do? Okay, I guess I'll just share my whole desktop.
And so far, Andrea is looking for long term, and Sue is looking for long term.
Okay, so let me zoom in here a little bit. I wanted to show you guys, have a quick discussion about local market conditions. And local market conditions are so important when you're watching the news, oh, the housing market might crash. Oh, it's a bubble. Oh, it's this or that. What's going on in New York City is different than what's going on in Mansfield, Ohio. What's going on in Florida or California is different than what's going on in Iowa or Idaho. So local market conditions are really, really important to pay attention to those local market conditions. So let's start our conversation here with looking at some local market conditions. These numbers are in from December of 2023, so just the end of last year. Here, the number of listings, what I want you to look at is this green line. This represents the number of new listings being added to the MLS, and notice it has gone down a nosedive since August. Number of new listings hitting the market has been decreasing. Now that's kind of normal for Ohio. What happens in August and September and October, the weather is changing, the holidays are coming, people don't want to sell their houses and move around the holidays or in the snow. It's kind of cyclical for Ohio, it's kind of normal. But the number of new listings hitting the market has been decreasing for the last 4 months consecutively. But then if you look in January of last year. Then you can start to see in the spring the number of new listings start to increase, and then it hits its peak over the summer. So this is kind of a normal cycle for Ohio. So that's not what's really contributing to our short inventory. And we do have short inventory. That's the next thing I want to point out here is our absorption rate. This is actually how much inventory we have on the market. If something happened and everyone panicked and people stopped adding houses to the market, everyone stopped putting their homes up for sale, we would sell all of the homes we have in about 5 or 6 weeks. We would run out of houses. Everything out there that is for sale would be sold in 5 or 6 weeks. That's what an absorption rate is. That's how much remaining inventory we have.
So
And
you're saying in Ohio, it's still a pretty hot market because things just, there just isn't enough inventory.
white hot, no inventory. So to give you some context here, this says 1.6 months. We would run out of inventory in about 5 to 6 weeks. If we stopped putting new stuff up for sale, we would run out in 5 to 6 weeks. A balanced market is supposed to have 6 months on their absorption rate. 6 months. We have 6 weeks worth of inventory.
Now, how does that relate across the country? I know that's Ohio, and of course, here in Central Ohio, we've got some big stuff coming into the Central Ohio area. So what happens, how can folks that are like, we had someone from Washington, D.C., how about folks that are not in Ohio? How can they find out their absorption rate?
Well, this is a report generated from the MLS. So you would need
Okay.
to contact a local realtor to get this information. This is information that is contained in the MLS. Sold rates and listing dates, that's usually all in the MLS. There might be other ways to glean it too, but the fastest, greatest way is just to contact a good local agent.
Okay,
Again,
perfect.
a normal, healthy, balanced, perfectly equal market, not balancing, not favoring buyers, not favoring sellers. A perfect market would have 6 months on their absorption rate. Ditto for the number of days on market. A perfectly balanced market, not favoring buyers nor sellers, your house would take about 6 months to sell in a perfectly balanced market. So you can see here in Central Ohio, our days on market is 30 days. That's 1 month. That is red hot. Things are selling like hotcakes. And we're almost out of hotcakes to sell.
So it would be a great market if you were going to flip. Now, if you're trying to buy and hold, it's a little bit more of a difficult market for you because prices, it's all that supply and demand. Prices are up there because the supply shortage. And so if you're trying to buy something to hold long term and you need room in those numbers, you might have to cast your net a little wider.
Exactly. So I still think buy and hold is a great opportunity, especially with what's coming, and we're going to get into that. Just like Kathy said, your numbers might not look as golden right out the gate because this is a hot seller's market. These two factors, absorption rate and days on market, are what we look at to determine if it's a buyer's market or a seller's market. We look at how much inventory do we have and how fast is it going. That determines whether something is a buyer's market or a seller's market. So we are in an extremely strong seller's market in Central Ohio, and we have been for what, 4 years now or something crazy? I mean, I've been licensed for 11 years, and every year our economy just keeps going up. Now, with that said, the laws of physics haven't been thrown out the window. People aren't paying double or triple what a property is worth. If we slide over here and look at the sold to list ratio, you can see, back in the summer, people were paying, 101%, 102% of asking price. You're not getting double or triple what your home is worth. Just because it's a hot seller's market doesn't mean that the laws of physics have been thrown out the window. People aren't nuts. Appraisers aren't nuts. I mean, if you've got cash, you can do whatever you want. But if you're borrowing money, like 90% of people do, if you're borrowing money, the bank's going to send an appraiser out. He's going to analyze it. And so, look, people are right now in December getting about 97% of their asking price, right? Your home is not worth double or triple just because it's a seller's market. So some people hear seller's market and they think fireworks and rules no longer exist, but they do. It's not the Wild Wild
But
West. People
because,
are doing great, but
yeah, but because this group is all about investing and you're trying to find property, this is good news for you because you can still buy property for right around 97% of what the market says it's worth. So this is still a good market for to find.
It is a strong market. It's just adjust those expectations. If you think you're going to go in and lowball somebody and save 30% off sticker price, I've got bad news for you. So expect to pay close to full price, but that's okay. That's okay. We're still going to be having, you're still going to be room to make money in your deal. Like I said, it just might not look as golden right out the gate, but as Kathy always says, the only difference between a bad deal and a good deal is enough time. So talking about time, here's your call from the future. Now is the time to get into the market. If you're sitting on the fence and you're being kind of wishy-washy, this is your call to action to join the fray. Because here comes my favorite five-letter word, Intel. Intel is going gangbusters. Central Ohio is going gangbusters right now. We have hit the lottery. There is more massive investment going on in Ohio right now than there has like anywhere else in US history. It's absolutely crazy. And it's very, very important too. You know, if you don't know why Intel is such a big deal, it's because of microchips. You know, microchips are in everything these days. Microchips are, of course, in your computer, in your cell phone. They're in your watches, all your digital devices. You probably saw in the news a few years ago, Ford couldn't sell hundreds of thousands of cars because they couldn't get microchips in them. I mean, there's microchips in everything. There's probably a microchip in this stapler right here, right now. Can you hear me now? Like, microchips are just in everything. And right now, we're getting a lot of microchips from Taiwan and China, which is why there's a lot of tensions going on over there. So, this is why Intel is so important. We have to get our microchip production ramped up. And the government is behind it. The government money is involved. The Department of Defense is actually out there at the Intel site right now because they're lining the basements with like top secret material. It's going to be a radioactive fallout shelter. Like really, really cool and interesting stuff is going on in Ohio. And you know, why did they pick Ohio? It's kind of a funny story. They picked Ohio because we're cheap and boring. They got a lot of land for cheap. And boring, as in there's not a lot of natural disasters hitting Ohio. We don't get earthquakes, we don't get floods, we don't get hurricanes. Ohio is fairly relatively stable in thinking on those terms. So, which is why they're building Intel out there, because mostly because there's no seismic activity. Producing those chips requires very, very precise kind of work. And so anyway, that's why Ohio was picked for the Intel site, which I think is really, really cool. We're going to
Now,
become
if
on
you're not in
Parkway.
Ohio, though, pay attention to what's going on in your state or where it, whatever state it is that you want to invest in. Pay attention to what's going on there because oftentimes you can find a hot spot wherever you're located where properties are still reasonable and you can get in on what we like to call the ground level so that when these things do come to pass, you already have some properties purchased there. Whether you want short term, mid term, long term, it doesn't matter. And I will jump in. I noticed that we see some folks are interested in long term rentals, but I have Tom, he's who said mid term. But when you're doing the deal, make sure, and we're going to talk about this a little bit later on down the road when we talk about the funding and all of that. But make sure when you're doing the deal that your numbers for long term work for you. Because that's always your out. If for some reason, for example, when COVID came through, a lot of the short-term rentals sat empty because all of the events canceled that people were traveling to go see. And so a lot of those properties sat empty. So just make sure if you have to segue back to doing a long-term rental just to cover your costs, that your long-term numbers work. So I will toss that out there. And then from there, you can decide to try midterm or short-term. But if for some reason it doesn't work, you can always go back to long term and still not lose the house. So I'll just jump in and say that. So back to you,
Yeah, no,
Kyle.
that's exactly perfectly right. You know, you want to have, you know, your worst case scenario and your best case scenario and everything in between planned out. And it all comes down to planning. Like Kathy said, even in your local area, just pay attention to what's going on locally. So here, I've gotten away from watching like the normal news. I still want to be informed of what's going on. So now I look at business news every day. I like to watch business news, keep up on top of business dealings. who is spending money where and why, follow the dollars. So that's what this is here, a bunch of news articles going on about the future upcoming Silicon Heartland and how it's helping future-proof our regional economy. Like, the economy here is going to be so strong for so long. This is a great place to invest. Even if you're somewhere in DC or California, New York, and I'm getting calls from those people weekly because the cat's out of the bag with Intel and all the money coming and all the big changes coming, the cat's out of the bag, and people are calling me from all over the country to invest in Central Ohio because our economy here is basically future-proof. Probably for my lifetime, it's only going to go up and up and up. And I've been watching the business news, and here's this little spreadsheet I've been keeping tabs on of all the money being spent. When Intel decided to open here, they said for every $1 Intel spends, $5 will be generated in the economy. And for every one job they create, 13 more jobs will be created in the economy. And since Intel has announced their $20 billion with a B, their $20 billion investment, all of these other companies have jumped on board too. Amazon is spending $8 billion, Honda, LG, $4 billion, Google, $4 billion, Nationwide Children's Hospital, $3 billion, OSU Wexner, $2 billion. I mean, this billion, billion, billion. And now it makes these smaller projects. When Coca-Cola announced a $100 million plant south of Columbus, that normally would have been big news. Ooh, a new $100 million Coca-Cola plant. Sounds awesome, right? But it's absolutely dwarfed in comparison to everything else that's going on, which is insane. So far, $43 billion have been spent, and we've got $500 billion to $5 trillion yet more to come. And here's what that number looks like if you type it out, $5 trillion. There's a lot of zeros there. Now, this isn't Intel's first rodeo. This here is a little town in the middle of nowhere in Arizona called Chandler in 1976, and you can see it was all farmland. And here that is 30 years later, completely residentially, commercially developed. Now, it took 30 years for Chandler to do that, because imagine 50 years ago, we weren't using microchips in everything, but now microchips are in everything. So they're predicting we're gonna have this same transformation out in Licking County in Central Ohio. What took them 30 years, we're gonna do in 10 years or less. Mind-blowing. So here is a map of where Intel is going. Intel is going here in the center of this blue dot out in Licking County. And then everything out up to the yellow line is everything within a 1 hour's drive. And that goes up to Mansfield, Ohio, and that goes down to Lancaster, that goes out to Zanesville, and it goes out to where the Honda LG plant is being built on the west side too. So this is everything going within an hour's drive of the Intel site. And Columbus's population has been on the boom here. This dark blue line shows the increasing population of Columbus over the last century. Columbus is just growing fist over hand. It's insane. They're saying like 100 people a day are moving to the region. We're in a housing crisis. We don't even have enough housing for the people that are currently living here. And 100 people a day are moving here. So we need to build faster. We need to build further and wider. So rents are going to be going up. This is driving property values up because it's a supply and demand issue. We have a lot of supply and little demand. Go back to that absorption rate and days on market. Lots of supply, very little demand. Basic economics.
So the best way to think about investing in Central Ohio is that you should have invested yesterday, but if you didn't, then definitely today.
Where's that time machine?
I know.
This is your time machine wake-up call. If you didn't do it yesterday, you need to do it today. Because Zillow, I know that's a four-letter word to us realtors, but Zillow has predicted Columbus to be the third hottest housing market in 2024. I bet at the end of the year, we're probably going to be bumped up to number one. But Ohio has three cities on this top 10 list: Cincinnati, Columbus, and Cleveland. Three of the top 10 cities are in Ohio because Ohio has won the lottery. When we got that Intel bid, when we got that government money, I mean, all of this money that's following us, this here, we have hit the lottery in Ohio. Ohio has three of the top 10 hottest markets for 2024.
Now, let me just say this. My hobby is finding properties. I love it. I spend probably an hour every day just looking for properties. And let me tell you this, Columbus, it's a little harder to find something in that low spectrum price point. And for those of you that don't know me, I oftentimes will buy something below 50,000, knowing that the ARV is going to be 150 once we're done with it. But usually a property like that requires a lot of work. I mean, usually it needs a new roof, it needs a new furnace. Oftentimes it's totally gutted inside. But I'm here to tell you, if your price point is in that range and you have a skill set or you have a contractor in your back pocket, Buffalo, number one on this list, still has some properties in that range. Cincinnati has some properties in that range. Columbus, Ohio, not so much because of the whole intel thing. A lot of those properties have already been gobbled up, the ones that are really distressed. But then if you go down the list, Cleveland has a ton of those properties in this range, in the under $50,000 range. But let me give you a warning about Cleveland before I move on. Cleveland just passed a ruling that said every property that changes title, changes ownership, has to have a lead paint inspection and report. And if your property, which most of them in Cleveland are older, they're going to have lead paint somewhere. It takes a licensed lead abatement contractor to get rid of that lead paint. You are not allowed to do it yourself. You and your brother-in-law can't go in and strip out that house. So anytime it changes hands, it has to have that lead report. So be careful if you're going to invest in Cleveland. But then when you get down to Orlando and Tampa, you're not going to find a lot of those properties in that price range, but those are still great investment opportunities because those two areas, you could, if you buy with long-term numbers in mind, you could try those on a short-term rental basis and make four times the rent. So the top 10 on this list is huge. So back to you, Kyle.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You are right. So Columbus, yep, the deals have been snapped up, right? The cat's out of the bag. But that's why I love looking at this picture because everything within an hour drive radius, look, you can go up to Mansfield, which is where I'm broadcasting from today. You can go out to Zanesville, Mount Vernon, Marion. There are still lots of little outlying towns where you can get $50,000 deals, $75,000 deals. I'm in a house that I paid $40,000 for. It's been 1 year and the new ARV is 150. Like they're your investment. Yeah, you're an hour away, but people are willing to drive that far for work. People moving here from like LA and Atlanta and New York, an hour commute is normal to them, absolutely normal to them. Or if you've got some, work from home part of the week or this or that. People are able and willing to drive that far. So here's intel. You don't have to just buy in Columbus. If you buy anything, anywhere within an hour of intel, you're going to be golden for the time to come. So that's what we're going to look at next is
Yeah,
actually
so again, cast your net a little wider. If you're not
Yes.
finding something in the perfect area that you'd like it to be in, cast your net a little wider.
Right. So Central Ohio, we're all benefiting from intel. Cleveland and Cincinnati, neither one of those are within driving distance of intel, but Columbus is right there and everything in between, So that's what we're gonna look at. I'm gonna show you guys some properties today that I have found in some of these outlying areas in the intel orbit that are still fantastic deals. They're not in Columbus proper, but they are going to be in the orbit of intel. Where do I want to change gears to? Yes, here we go. So this is the MLS. I'm signed into my realtor portal here. When you go to find properties, talk about finding properties. There's lots of different ways to find properties, but basically they kind of fall into two different categories. You've got your on-market properties and you've got your off-market properties. And some people say, oh, I only deal in off-market properties, I say never say never. If you find a good deal, if you find a house or a property type that you're looking for, never say never. Don't say, I won't buy off of the MLS. I'll never buy retail. I only buy off-market. Okay, well, you might be shrinking your pool there because actually, statistically, 90% of all deals are done through the MLS. But the MLS is more like retail. A lot of these houses are more turnkey. They're ready to go, or it's just light cosmetic work to get them livable or to get them flipped. A lot of off-market deals that Kathy likes to buy, the $50,000 major fixer-upper, right? Those usually require someone with a bigger appetite or someone with more skill or know-how or connections. You need a good contractor to flip and renovate a house, and contractors are in high demand right now. So unless you're willing or able to do a lot of the work yourself, an off-market deal might sound great. Oh yeah, I only paid $50,000 for it, but it's going to take you 6, 8, 12 months to wait for the contractor, and all that time you've got holding costs and this and that. So you really have to analyze the deal from every angle to determine, what's going to work best for you. A lot of off-market deals do need a lot of work. They didn't quite qualify to be listed on the market, on the
Which
MLS.
is why oftentimes they're off market.
Which is exactly why they're off market. If you put something on the MLS, most of those people there are your normal consumer shoppers. These people have jobs and kids and lives, and they're not looking for an investment property. A lot of investors who have the appetite to take on the work needed for an off-market job, that's why, or off-market opportunity, that's why they shop off market. But they're usually well connected, and able to get the work done. So if you can do the work yourself, like I'm doing in this old house, I'm doing most of the work myself. Thank you, YouTube, for all the tutorials out there. God bless Bob Vila and this old house.
I love it. I love it. I probably tap into YouTube on how to do something almost every day.
Yes, YouTube is fantastic. So off-market deals, what is an off-market deal? What, anything that's really not on the MLS? You've got your FSBOs, your for sale by owners. And there's websites for those people. A lot of times they'll put them on Craigslist and Facebook and Zillow and whatnot. You can find a for sale by owner. That's technically an off-market deal because it's not going through the MLS. New builds, new construction homes are an off-market deal. A lot of those aren't put into the MLS. A lot of the developers market those directly. And if you were with us in December, that's actually, or was it November, where we went and looked at a new build, boots on the ground, Happy House Hunters, really, really nice new builds being presented from DR Horton. And you might think, well, a new build is going to be, top dollar. That's not going to make sense for an investment. But actually, someone who was there was interested in running the numbers. And with his down payment that would be required, and with the mortgage that would result, and with the high rents they're getting in Hilliard, that new build deal made sense. It did. You could have bought a new build home, put a renter in there, and started making 20 to 25% more than the mortgage right off the bat. And because it was a new build, you knew you weren't going to have to worry about furnaces or roofs or hot water tanks for a long time to come. So new builds also represent a viable investment opportunity. Don't write those off. Analyze the deal. The
It's
deal
all
made
about the
sense.
numbers.
It's all about the numbers, right? Again, a lot of people say, oh, I won't buy new builds, or I won't buy on market or off market. Never say never. If you do that, I think you're shrinking your options, you're narrowing the field. And right now you want to play the whole field because the field is crowded. So don't write anything off. You can also drive around for dollars. One of my favorite things to do is to drive into the neighborhoods that I wish that I could live in, or that I wish that I could invest in, or the ones that I want, where I know tenants want to be. Drive around. You can find opportunities that way. Sometimes you see a house that needs a little bit of work, or maybe there's a FSBO sign in the yard, or maybe a for rent sign in the yard. Just because something says it's for rent doesn't mean that the owner's not open to selling it. Maybe they were on the fence this year. Oh, should I rent it one more year? Should I cash out and move to Florida and retire? Call them, ask them, have a conversation with them, make them an offer they can't refuse. That's what we call driving for dollars. I'm sure everyone here gets the robo spams and texts every day. Hey, do you want to sell your house to me? You could also, there are programs and softwares for doing that. You can spam and robocall and text people. A little more old school, the direct mailing. If you drive around a certain neighborhood, like let's say, oh, I really want to buy in Victorian Village, you can also just mass mail to everyone in Victorian Village. You can go to the post office's website and download addresses for particular zip codes and areas, and you can mass mail and market that way. That's another way of finding an off-market deal. Also, auctions, online auctions, sheriff sales, those usually require quite a bit of cash. You sometimes you can't even get into the property. It's a sight unseen. Usually, certainly no kind of inspections or contingencies there. So there are pros and cons to getting things at auctions. But auctions would be another off-market type of category you can find. And then wholesalers. I know Kathy knows tons of wholesalers. I know tons of wholesalers. I'm on their mailing lists. Wholesalers kind of do everything we just talked about, but they do it for you. They do the mass marketing. They do the driving for dollars. They call the FSBOs. They are making 1,000 calls a day. They're doing all the legwork. And then they're bringing you those deals. And they're making, of course, a profit in between for all the work that they've done. But they're doing a lot of work for you and saving you a lot of runaround. And then they mark up the price and they take, the cut in between. There's some regulatory changes coming, I think, to the wholesaling world. So we'll have to sit back and watch and see how that plays out. But those are all of your off-market type of deals, different
And
ways
for
of
those of
paying.
you that may be a little further down the path of doing some deals, maybe you have a few under your belt already. And one of your questions might be, I've always been afraid to maybe work with a wholesaler because I didn't know how to do that closing where the wholesaler is kind of there in the middle, where they're basically selling the contract, not the property. And there are title companies in Columbus that just specialize in wholesale deals. So don't be afraid of working with a wholesaler. Jordan says, how do you find wholesalers in a particular area? Go to some of the meetup groups. The wholesalers go to all the meetup groups because it's all about connections for them. It's all about building relationships. So in whatever area you're in Columbus, the general Columbus area has a lot of in-person meetups. And then of course we're doing this virtual meetup, but we also do an in-person meetup. So a lot of those wholesalers, you will find those folks at those in-person meetups. So just kind of search your area, get on some maybe Facebook real estate groups, and just ask where are the in-person meetups. Go to meetup.com and look for some real estate meetups in your area, but start attending those. I think you'll be pleasantly surprised. Kyle?
Yeah, absolutely. Networking is the best way. I mean, you can even just do a Google search, Columbus wholesalers, whatnot. Now, not all wholesalers are created equal, which is why there's legislation coming. There have been some bad actors. There has been some scams going on. So just be very, very careful. But there are a lot of reputable wholesalers, but there are, and then of course, a lot of disreputable wholesalers too. So just make sure, you're protected. Maybe get an attorney, get someone to review the contracts. I help all of my clients, whether or not it's a wholesaler. Any of my clients can call me at any time and I'll answer any questions for them. Like, just make sure you've got some people around you who are looking out for you, because the wholesaler is not looking out for you, they're looking out for them.
Correct, correct. And if you're in the Columbus area, I can connect you. So get in touch with me after the call. You can find me at kathybinner.com and get in touch with me after the call, and I can put you in touch with some of those in-person meetups here.
So yeah, lots of ways of finding off-market deals, but again, the off-market deals only represent a fraction of all transactions. 90%, actually 88, I rounded up, 88% of all deals done are done through the MLS. So that's what we're actually looking at here on my screen now, is the MLS portal. I went in and did a search. What I decided to look at today, last year, all throughout Boots on the Ground, we looked at a lot of duplexes and single family homes. We looked at midterm rentals and short-term rentals and long-term rentals, all of the above. I wanted to look today at fourplexes and fourplexes within that hour drive orbit of Intel, just to kind of show you what your money can get around the way. So here you can see on the map, of course, this is where Columbus is. And if we go out Columbus, we follow 62, right about right here is where that Intel site is going to go. So I've got three properties that we're going to look at. One of them's in Mount Vernon, a short drive to that Intel site. One is in Zanesville, a short drive to that Intel site. And one is down in Lancaster, also going to be within a reasonable distance to drive to that Intel site. So the first one is up here in Mount Vernon. You can see this is a fourplex that has been listed, and it is currently asking $230,000. There's not a lot of photos of it here. Doesn't look too terrible from the outside. They do mention that it is due for a new roof, but this is a fourplex currently asking $230,000. I mean, You can't even buy a single family home for that much in Columbus anymore these days. And here you can get a quad if you're willing to go outside a little bit further, less than an hour away from Columbus, and you can get a fourplex here for $230,000. This one is renting, each unit is rented at $650 a month. So there's four of them. So that's $2,600 a month in incoming revenue. And $2,600 a month, if anybody follows that 1% rule that Bigger Pockets talks about, then that should suggest a market value for this property of $260,000. If your monthly rent is 1% of the total value of the home, then this property should be worth about $260,000. Now they're asking $230,000 because we know it needs a new roof. So even if you throw a $30,000 roof on there, even at current market rents, this one still fits the Bigger Pockets 1% rule. And these rents, they say in the notes, have not been updated in a while. So these rents are below market value. So here's a property you could get to start generating rental income within that Intel site. So of course, with Intel coming, this value is going to go up, and these rents are going to go up. And you can get in right now. Here's your time machine call to action. For less than the price of a single family home, anywhere in actually Columbus proper.
That one is a great one, Kyle. Andrea asked in the chat, is it possible to find partners in purchasing these homes? And the answer is absolutely yes. Now, I will toss this out, and again, I firmly believe that the rising tide raises all the ships. And so there is another organization that's in Central Ohio called CORREE, CORREE, and their website is CORREERocks.com if anyone's interested. And they have every Friday morning on a Zoom call, they have haves and wants. And once you become a member of the CORREE organization, and again, I'm putting it out there because they're also at $25 a month, and I'd rather you buy my program for $25 a month. I get it. Go whatever works best for you, because again, I believe that the rising tide raises all the ships. And so if CORREE is right for you, then by all means join over there. But in the haves and wants, you can bring it to the table on a Friday morning call and say, I would like to purchase a multifamily and I'm looking to do a joint venture with someone that would want to go in on that. So if you don't have the money to purchase it, you can actually create a partnership and you can purchase it with other partners. So the answer to Andrea is absolutely yes. You can have more than one person put together an LLC. There's, and again, we'll get into the funding next month, but there is a way that you can even fund that by just calculating the rental income where they don't even ask you for your income or anything about your credit. It's all about how the property is going to perform. And this one is going to perform because it's right in within the net of that new intel. So back to you, Kyle.
No, that's great. I love that question. Thanks for that question. And that's exactly the perfectly right answer. Yes, you don't have to go it alone, especially if it's your first time, if you're scared or afraid, of going it alone, it's super stressful. Yes, for sure. Partner up with
Or you
somebody.
just don't have the cash and
Right.
you gotta get the cash. Yeah.
Or maybe you've got the skills. Hey, I know how to work on a house. I've got time and ability to work and renovate something. I just don't have the money to buy it yet. Boy, I wish I could. Someone else out there's got the money, but they don't have the time or the skills to do the work. So, I mean, if you guys partner up, I mean, that's a perfect partnership there. Yeah. If you're lacking something, go out there and find it. Someone else out there has the yin to your yang for sure.
And by the way, this house is in Mount Vernon. If you haven't been to Mount Vernon and you don't know anything about Mount Vernon, it is the cutest little village, walkable, totally walkable, tons of little shops, coffee shops, carry little delis. It's just a great little area. And anybody would just be so happy to live there. So you won't have any problem filling this one.
Very classic small town feel. Small town boom is happening. A lot of people are going back out to these smaller, forgotten about areas and revitalizing them for sure. Absolutely. Small town boom is definitely happening. So that's a Mount Vernon. That's a great property. It's currently available in Mount Vernon for just, eye-watering low price. If we jump over to Zanesville, also in that Intel orbit, we've got something very similar going on over here. Here's a fourplex currently asking $240,000. Each rent, or sorry, each unit here is rented at 625, which is also below the market rent. They haven't raised them in a while. So that's producing a $2,500 a month total net, sorry, total gross income. So if we apply the 1% rule, the 1% rule would say that this property should be worth about $250,000. And here they're asking 240. So this is a good buy right now. This is still a very good buy, less than $250,000, less than what you'd pay for a single family home anywhere in Columbus. You can buy a fourplex, creating revenue out there in that Intel orbit. So this
Wow.
number is going to go up over time, and your rents will go up over time as well.
Now, is this one already rented? Is all four units already occupied? Do we know?
I think this one has one unit that's currently open
Okay.
for touring, and then the other units can be toured once you've gotten them into a contract.
Okay. So the good news there is even if you have to finance it, the lender's going to look to see what you already have rented. And so the three units with only one vacant is in your favor.
So here are some pictures of the
Yeah,
vacant unit.
looks pretty nice.
We can see they just kind of took pictures off their cell phone, odd angles, but you can see, yeah, perfectly nice. Kitchen might be kind of small, but hey, it's a rental. I've lived in much smaller conditions. My first kitchen was actually even smaller than this, if you can imagine.
Somebody that's moving in to work in one of those plants, they're just looking for some housing that they can afford, that's within driving distance of their new job. It's gonna,
Right.
what Intel's gonna bring, what, 3,000 new jobs?
At least. And then for every job they create, 13 more jobs will be created. So 130,000 to 160,000 new jobs coming. Yeah.
Because once those folks move into the area, all of these little surrounding towns, they're going to have more beauty salons. They're going to have more coffee shops. They're going to have all of those things are going to start popping up to handle that increased population.
Yep. You need gas stations, you need hotels, you need recreation, you need entertainment. I mean, the list just goes on and on. And so I say we've hit the lottery. Ohio has hit the lottery with the amount of money and influx and demand that's happening. We really have. It's crazy. And then the third property, if we go south a little bit down to Lancaster, which Kathy is very, very much in love with because of the low property taxes down there in Lancaster. This one is the best one of the three that I found, and I actually crunched the numbers on this one last night. But guess what? It went into contract this morning.
Because
So,
it is a hot market.
because someone got the message yesterday, if you didn't buy something yesterday, you need to buy something today. So this property, they were asking 300 and currently they were originally asking $380,000 because each unit is rented at 950, and they also say that that's below market value. They haven't raised them in a while. So 950 times 4 is 3800. 3800 is 1%, so they use the bigger pockets rule. Their original asking price was $380,000 following the 1% rule. Well, it had sat on the market for 69 days, so a little bit above our average days on market. And now, yesterday, this morning, it went into contract probably somewhere near $360,000. So they got it for better than the 1% rule. This is also for one bedroom units. And I went ahead and I already crunched the numbers on this one last night, and then it sold this morning. But here's what those people got. Let's say they paid the $360,000. They put their 20% down because it's an investment property and they took out a 30-year loan. Here's why Kathy likes Lancaster so much. The taxes down there are dirt cheap. So the taxes on this property are literally only $1,000 a year. So here's what their monthly mortgage payment looks like. Whoever snapped up this property is paying $2,200 a month in mortgage. And what did we just say? It's bringing in $3,800 a month in rents, 950 per unit times 4, $3,800 a month in rent. So you subtract those two numbers and someone's making $1,600 a month profit on this property now because they bought it. How would you like
I
to
love
add
it.
$1,600 income to your income every month? And then Kathy talks about, your freedom number. How many more times would you have to do that two, three, four more times, and then you can quit your day job and you just sit back and collect rent money, collect mailbox money. That's the goal here, right? Passive income. This property is now creating $1,600 passive income for some wise investor.
And for some of you that have never been a landlord before and you're like, oh, I hear all the horror stories. Believe it or not, I have 28 doors and I might get two calls a month. It's not like I'm getting 10 calls a day out of 28 doors. I might get two calls a month. And I just have a maintenance company on the other line, and all I do is just a pass through. I get the call, hey, my faucet's dripping, hey, my furnace quit, hey, whatever, and I just hand it over to my maintenance company, and I'm done. That's it. So I get paid to answer two phone calls a month.
So that's a little bit about finding. I know we're approaching the top of the hour here. That's a little bit about finding deals. I hope everybody learned a little something new. Kathy, did we get all the questions answered? Are there any other questions out there?
I'm making sure that everybody here, I want to make sure that you're allowed to talk here. So if anybody has any questions, and I'm just going through my list, so bear with me just a moment because some of you jumped on after we shared the screen and I couldn't see you. And so I am just looking down through my list to make sure everybody can chat if they want to. So I think we've got everybody on board. So if you have any questions, raise your hand. And let's just have a conversation on where you are, what it is you're looking for, and how can we help you take the next best step. Anyone?
You
And yeah, just
here?
you can just unmute if you want to, if you want to chat, just unmute and ask your question.
Well, hello. Can everybody hear me? It's
Yes,
Elise.
hi Elise, welcome.
Hey, hello, hello. Hi, Kathy. Hi, Kyle. I just wanted to say one, thank you so much for the great information. I thought that was like really informative. I love seeing the graphs and, just around town, how Intel is one. I know it's your favorite word, but just how that growth can really propel Ohio and some of the investors getting started. I also wanted to ask about that those fourplexes. Do you think that those numbers would work in a house hack situation with the other three units as well?
Oh yeah, absolutely. That's actually my goal. Once I get this house here renovated and flipped, I plan on buying a fourplex and house hacking it, meaning living in one of the units, essentially for free, and having the three tenants paying the mortgage. Even if I have to contribute a little bit, towards the mortgage myself, I think it would still be saving you a ton of money. The last time I was renting an apartment in Columbus, 2 years ago, my rent was $1,600 a month for a one bedroom, and that was out in Galloway, and that was, destined to keep going up every year. So even if you're house hacking it and you're just breaking free on your mortgage, breaking even on your mortgage, I would be saving $1,600 a month not paying rent. And then, of course, I know every single year that the value of that property is going up. And then in a few years, I can up the rents too. And eventually, even if I'm just breaking even at my mortgage now, eventually I'll actually even be having positive incoming cash flow. Not only am I saving money, but then I'm also going to start making money as time goes on. I absolutely love the idea of house hacking a fourplex.
Absolutely, I agree. I think one time I went to one of our Think Cory meetups, and an investor said to me that the thing about real estate is you just got to buy something and then live long enough for it to make you money. So I can definitely relate. But
It's a
thank you
time
so
machine. It's
much.
a time machine game. Yep.
Absolutely. Jordan has a question. Jordan put in the chat, when applying the 1% rule you mentioned of rent versus the value, should closing cost be figured into that?
Well, some people will do it this way, some people will do it that way. I don't think there's any yes or no answer. If you've got the cash to pay, are you paying cash for your own closing costs? Are you borrowing closing costs? Are you financing the closing costs in? Did you negotiate the seller to pay your closing costs? There's a lot of ways to handle closing costs. So that would be my first question. The second question is yes. The third answer is no. Do it both ways. See how the numbers work for you. As long as the numbers still work for you, 1% doesn't have to be a hard and fast rule. Maybe you can't find anything that makes the 1% rule work. Maybe you got to adjust that number down to 0.9, 0.8. 0.7. How low are you willing to go? I still think 0.5 is better than 0.0, right? Like it's your numbers and your sliding scale of comfort. Anything could work. Anything could work as long as you say yes.
Yeah, Andrea wants to know what does FSBO mean? It's actually for sale by owner. And there's some websites out there where owners that are trying to sell their own properties and not listed on the MLS, they can list out there. But oftentimes you run into an owner that really doesn't understand the market. And even if you're going to do a deal directly with an owner, which I've done several, you still have to close through a verified title company. Make sure that you have a title company, do the title search, make sure that any legalities have been cut loose from that property. Don't go and sign, under the table somewhere and then discover that, Uncle George still has an ownership in that property and you didn't know about him. So make sure that you go through an actual title company to do the search, buy the title insurance, get it filed correctly, with the auditor site, do all the right stuff. I have a
Exactly
question.
right, exactly right. Just because it's a seller's market, like we looked at earlier, that people are paying 97% of asking price, just because it's a seller's market does not mean your house is worth double or triple the market value. And some FSBO people tend to think that, well, my house is worth double or triple because I've heard that it's a seller's market, you know. So not to down all for sale by owners, but like Kathy said, maybe they're lacking the proper education or experience to really know how to price and market their homes, which is why they have a disadvantage. Usually on average, a FSBO person gets about 15% less for their house than they actually could have had they used a professional realtor to market it and price it.
I have a
Janice,
question.
Janice has a question. We're going to let Janice ask her question next.
Well, thank you. Yeah, so my name is Janice. I'm actually in
Oh, I'm
Atlanta,
sorry, I
Georgia.
pronounced it Janice. I'm sorry.
That's fine. I've been called worse. That's fine. So I'm in Atlanta, Georgia. I'm actually in real estate, but as a salesperson, right? Not as an investor. And I would love to explore that this year. I consider myself a lifetime learner, so I'm always open to learning. So I'm looking at house hacking. So my question to you is, what's the best way to find midterm renters apart from Airbnb?
I personally like to use Furnish Finders because Furnish Finders seems to be the go-to for traveling nurses. And so that oftentimes is where I find my midterm. But I also have used Zillow and I simply did the same ad. I actually, logistically, just to give you an idea, I actually set it up in Furnish Finders first and created my calendar, did my pictures, and did all of that. And then I simply duplicated all of that over into Zillow and made sure that I mentioned in Zillow, because in Zillow, you're out there with all the other rentals. I made sure that I mentioned that it was fully furnished and that it was for midterm, more than 30 days, less than 12 months. And my last person that I actually found for my midterm was off of Zillow. And so again, I can't discredit that, but I get inquiries on Furnish Finder every day. Two or three people are like, is this going to be open? Is this available? I'm looking. And so there seems to be a lot of activity on Furnish Finder. I don't get as much on Airbnb because Airbnb seems to be more of a short-term rental platform, and you have to really, really, really make it clear that you're looking for midterm over there, or else you get somebody that just wants to stay for the weekend or for a week, and that's a lot of flips if that isn't put into your numbers. Does that
Yes,
help?
it does help. And I've actually tried Airbnb, but Airbnb, you don't have as much control. So that's why I try to stay away from Airbnb in terms of, finding short-term rentals, right? And I also have tried, Furnish Finder. Maybe it has changed since, but I did pay that there was like a subscription fee that I paid,
Right.
but did not get any result from that. So I don't know if that's changed since and
Well,
maybe
now
it's different.
the two different the platforms were totally different for those of you that are listening in. When you're on Airbnb, they're ready to just click and save the date, and then you get the idea that, once you get the referral, then you can either accept or reject. You can say, yes, I'm going to accept their reservation, or no, I'm not. With Furnish Finders, all it is just a platform that is a matching service. It's kind of like a dating service. It just says, here's what you have to offer, here's what they're looking for, and Furnish Finder is going to say, hey, Janice, Susie over here has what she's looking for, what you have. You ought to get in touch with her. So you have to work the leads on Furnish Finder. It's not somebody is just going to book and then you get a notice that says, oh, I got a 3 month booking. It doesn't function that way. They just say, these are the people that are kind of looking for kind of what you have. And now you can work the leads, but you have to work it. Is that
That
helpful?
it does. It does. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I've got
Andrea,
it.
did you have a question?
I did. I had one relating to what Kyle was mentioning as far as you wouldn't get double the amount of the worth of your house. What about when they send you flyers, to your home and say, okay, your house is worth this and this and this? Do you have to what? They're gonna appraise it first and then judge what it's worth. Is that correct?
Well, so what you're probably getting is a market analysis, which is something I send out to my past clients too every few years. I'll just run a comps analysis in the MLS, meaning I look at recent comparable sales, and I just like to keep my past clients informed of their rising home value. So that's probably what you're receiving. Someone's done a market analysis for your home. Maybe they're trying to tempt you into selling. Maybe you've been thinking about upsizing or downsizing or moving or this or that. And a lot of people, like I said, the FSBO conversation, a lot of people don't really know really what their home is worth. And so that's what that market analysis does. That's what we do pre-appraisal. If you do sell your house and you get into contract and someone's borrowing money, the bank will send out a licensed appraiser later in the process to verify that amount. But basically what you're getting, that what you're receiving there is kind of like an informal appraisal, yes.
Okay, thank you.
Elise had asked, she said, please tell me about the Central Ohio MLS. How big of an area does that actually cover, Kyle?
Well, so actually, you can list into the MLS anything from anywhere in Ohio. If I zoom out here, you can see there's green dots kind
Okay,
of all over the place.
your screen, you didn't share your screen.
Oh, sorry, did I stop sharing? Can you see now? Can you see me now?
Yes.
Okay. So, I mean, the Columbus MLS, I mean, sometimes you'll see stuff pop up in Cleveland and Akron and everything. If you're trying to sell a house, you pretty much want to try to list that house on the local MLS. But with the internet, once it hits the internet, it's going to be filtered out to third-party sites like Zillow and Trulia and Realtor.com anyway. So really the Columbus MLS you could put a house in there from anywhere. I wouldn't recommend doing that because you want to reach, the people in the Cincinnati buyers aren't looking at the Columbus MLS for new listings, right? So I mean, technically you could put any listing in the Columbus MLS, but it's really the Central Ohio region. Dayton has their own MLS, Mansfield has their own MLS, but we cover all the way out to Zanesville. I think Cambridge then has their own MLS. But basically, if you think about an hour's drive around Columbus, that's pretty much what our MLS covers.
As you know, everything is increasing in price. Condo fees, taxes, insurance, and maintenance items are the rise. In order to cover the increases, we will be increasing their rent effective March the 1st.
I was going to say, I Kyle, stop. Can you stop sharing your screen long enough for me to? I can't.
Oh,
I
okay.
didn't. Yeah, I didn't hear. Bear with us.
I think someone had a question.
Yeah. Somebody made a comment and I didn't hear them. Who would you like to repeat that?
I think it was Sue.
Okay, could be something going on in the background there. Janice has her hand up again. Janice? Janice, did you have another question?
I do. I was still muted. Okay. So my question is, are both you and Kyle open to like a one-on-one, like phone conversation or mentoring? Is that something that both you both offer?
Actually, we do. And if you go to kathybinner.com, you will see my link where you can click through for a strategy call. And I would love to talk with you. And Kyle, how about you? Do you have a formula for folks to get in touch with you?
Yeah, I've got my own website too. I am kylebrandon.com, or you can just call or text or email me directly. I'll put all my contact information into the chat so that everyone has it.
But yes, please get in touch with us if you have any questions and you know, you want to chat with either one of us. We're open to that because, yes, again, we're in the position of mentoring. We want to help you take your next step, whatever that is. I remember when I wanted to get started and I didn't have a clue where to start. I didn't know how I was going to find contractors in case it was something I didn't know how to do. And there was a lot I didn't know how to do. I didn't know how to put a roof on. I didn't know how to do plumbing. I didn't know how to change.
They didn't have YouTube back then, Kathy.
Well, they still wouldn't know what to do with it. You know, when they said, get out a particular tool, I would go, what the heck is that? So, so again, it was a slow process and you only are where you are, and that's okay. And the one thing that I do want to mention to everyone on this call is, depending on where you are in life, age-wise, and what your goals are. So always start with the end in mind and reverse engineer, you know, what do you want your life to look like 10 years down the road or 20 years down the road? And so make sure that you know where you are in life on what it is that you want. And then you also have to decide what is your financials, you know, how much can you invest into a rental property? Because that makes a difference on possibly where you're going to start. And on top of all of that, then you have to decide, what is your skill set? Is it something that you can, like Kyle works on his own house, we work on a lot of our own properties. But because of our age, I'm getting to the place where we're doing less and less, and we're hiring more and more done on these properties. So my numbers change when that happens, because now, where I maybe wasn't paying for labor and I only had to pay for materials because we're going to do our own, and we decided we wanted to invest our time instead of money. We only have time and money, and we wanted to invest our time instead of money. Now I have to invest more money instead of time, because we're just getting older. And you know what, when you're my age and Mark's age, you don't want to carry shingles up a ladder on top of a roof. You know, you don't want to take a whole furnace down a flight of basement stairs and install it. You don't want to crawl in a crawl space to hook up plumbing or fix a leak. You know, you're ready to say, you know what, I'm just going to pay somebody. I'm going to pay those younger guys to do that. And so now it changes my numbers, because now I have to add in the labor cost on top of the material cost. So is that helpful for everybody?
It is.
Any other questions? We're a little past 1 o'clock. We understand if anybody has to jump off. I get it. But we're here to answer any questions you might have. So does anyone else have any questions for us?
Well, quick question. I mean, do you know any investors or actually into, say, senior group homes? Because I know, I mean, with the aging population, you know, there is definitely a need for that. So do you know of anyone who actually invests or, you know?
Yes, there are... joint ventures out there where folks are investing in those types of facilities. And it depends. I mean, again, there's a million and one ways to make money in real estate. You could buy an actual complex, and depending on how much cash you have in your back pocket, or how many investors you want to share with the whole investment on a joint venture, you could buy a full, you know, nursing home facility. And then as long as you do your homework on what your state requires, you know, and to meet all the checks and balances that come your way running in a home like that, you could do that. Or you could just have a single family and decide that you just want to take in some elderly folks into a home type environment. And the requirements are a lot different than a huge facility. And so you could do that as well. And then if you decide you want to live there, and take in, you know, just have a couple of rooms for elderly and do that as income, you can do that. And, but again, all of that is regulated by whatever state revised code you're in. If you're in Ohio, you would need to check with the Ohio Revised Code, and the Ohio Revised Code tells you exactly what's required for you to do any level of senior care. And so you most certainly can do that.
So do you know anyone who's actually doing that and is successful at it? Do you know of anyone?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, all the nursing homes, I mean, we've got, I think, 4 nursing homes just in our small little town, and they're all successful.
Okay, good to know. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Anyone else? Elise, thanks for the kudos in the chat. That she said Kathy and Kyle are great. Highly recommend connecting with them. Thank you for that, Elise. Kyle, your stuff just went out to host and panelist. You might want to, I'm just going to copy and paste that out to everyone.
Thank you.
Yep.
Thanks for catching that.
So there's Kyle's information. All right. Anyone else? Janice, just to tell you a little bit, I ran a home healthcare agency for 4 years and it was quite successful, and it's not as hard as you think. You just have to follow the code. Are you in Ohio, by the way, Janice?
No, I'm actually in Atlanta, Georgia.
Okay. You'd have to check with the Georgia revised code to make sure what the requirements are for you to do that.
Okay, got you. But I mean, I could still talk to you though, just to get an idea, you know, to get some more information. So I'll definitely reach out to you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I started my own home healthcare agency, and we were taking care of about 100 clients. And I did that for 4 years. But because I had other ventures, I decided to sell that. And it was quite lucrative, by the way. And so anyhow, that was how I got started. From the funds from selling that is how I bought some of my real estate.
Oh, interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Janice, I've got another tip for you for finding midterm renters, especially traveling nurses. Mm-hmm. And here in Central Ohio, we have some of the most fantastic hospitals around, if you don't know. But one of my girlfriends, she's a traveling nurse, or she decided to get into traveling. She's a nurse who decided to go traveling. And she started talking to other nurses, and she found renters by networking with other nurses who wanted to do the midterm traveling. So if you know any nurses, if any of your friends are nurses or doctors or work in hospitals, I would also try that organic route, because people love to be referred to, oh, you should go and rent from Janice, she's great, versus let me just find a stranger online to rent mm-hmm. from. People really prefer those personal referrals over a random stranger. So I would say do some organic networking too. I'm sure you know some doctors or nurses.
Well, I do know a couple of nurses, so that's a great idea. So that, I think, is a great way to start. I appreciate that, Kyle.
Yes, and the reason that is so important is because there's so many scams out there online, and I'll have nurses that will connect with me even through Furnish Finders, and they're like, are you for real? Are you a scam? Can I, like, meet you in person to make sure you really have this property before I send you any money? Mm-hmm. And so I make myself incredibly available, because I know that there are scams out there, and I want the folks that rent from me to feel confident that I'm not a scam, that I am there to help them, because they can't start their assignment until they have a place to live.
Well, so now that people have rented from Kathy, now they refer her to other people, and they come back and rent from Kathy again when they're back in town.
Okay. Absolutely. Absolutely. And on Furnish Finders, they can do the recommendation section, you know, give you a little referral right there on Furnish Finders. And that lets future folks know that you're legitimate.
Gotcha. Now, are there any Facebook groups that you have actually joined that you have had good experience with?
For what purpose?
For midterm rental.
For finding
renters.
Tenants, you mean?
Yes.
No, not on Facebook. I haven't found any. I most usually find a Facebook group of a bunch of folks that have grandmother's house, and they're trying to rent it out, and they're all complaining about why it's not working.
Okay.
So I usually stay off of those kind of groups. But if you get into an investment group, you're going to find a lot of folks that investing is a bigger picture, and you're going to find folks that are very successful at short-term, mid-term, long-term, flipping, buying, holding. They're successful in all those realms. And so those are the Facebook groups you want to get involved in, are from the investor's point of view, not just somebody that has an extra house and they're struggling to try to make it work. And again, there's such a gap between those that want to get into the business and those that are really in the business. And you want to surround yourself by folks that are making it happen. Stay out of the groups of folks that are struggling and complaining, and they're always the victim. And there's a whole bunch of short-term rental Facebook groups out there. And all it is a bunch of hosts complaining that somebody wiped their dirty feet on their carpet because they spent all their time decorating, and they really don't understand the whole process of letting go once the property is ready. And so I again, I stay away from those. I mean, I read them for entertainment value, but but I stay away from those groups because it will discourage you. And it is very lucrative. It's a very good business. But no matter where you fit in as a landlord, whether it's short term, midterm, or long term, you have to plan for somebody to mess up your property, because that's just a piece of landlording. That's just a piece of it. And so you have to have some reserves for that. And once you have those reserves put aside, and then you distance yourself emotionally. And the problem is sometimes it is grandma's house. And so you're kind of emotional about it because you remember being there as a kid and it's where grandma lived and all that. You have to separate yourself from the investment. And it's okay if you have to, you know, replace something or fix something and it's not exactly the way grandma had it, it's okay. And so that's where a lot of folks can't get past that.
Okay, great. And this has been awesome. I mean, it's a lot of valuable information. Now, is this a meet that you have every week, or how frequently do you meet online?
We meet on Zoom like this once a month, every month, the third Monday of every month at 12 noon. Now, let me look at my calendar to make sure I didn't misspeak, because I have a meetup every Monday at noon. And I just want to make sure that I gave you the correct one. And it is. It's the third Monday of every month at 12 noon. Same Zoom code. So put it on your calendars. It's the same Zoom that you got in today. You don't have to register each month. You can just tap right into the Zoom call and you'll show up right here like this. So and thank you for saying that. I appreciate you being here.
Sure, sure. And I look forward to the next meeting. Thank you so much.
Yes, we're going to be talking about funding, how to find the money. Today was how to find the properties. Next month, it's how to find the money. If you don't have money in your back pocket, it's how to find the money to get in, to get started. And we've got a guy that's amazing. You're going to love it. We've got a couple of private money lenders who are going to be telling you how you can find the money. Adrian had a question. Adrian, go ahead and unmute.
Hello?
Yes, hi.
Hello, Gaming. Hey, how you doing?
Good.
That's good. Great webinar. I have a question. It's more related to what you talked about previously regarding when after you fix up your property and tenants mess certain things up. I was wondering, when is like a thin line between when someone when they do something to the house where it bothers you to the point where that you gotta put your foot down and you gotta tell them like is it too dirty, or they made, or they did something that's really damaging. You know what I mean?
Well, it depends. And again, it depends on what your tolerance level is. And here's what I've discovered. The more cash I have in reserve, the higher my tolerance level is. Because if somebody messes up your carpet a little bit, or they mess up your carpet a lot, the cost to replace the carpet's the same.
Mm-hmm.
So when they move out, if I decide I'm going to have to replace the carpet, at some point, it doesn't matter to me whether they mess it up a little bit or mess it up a lot, because if I'm replacing the carpet, that replacement cost is the same to me. So the more cash I have in reserve, I feel the higher my tolerance level is, because I'm like, if they mess it up, I'll replace it. But if your reserves are very small, then it becomes an issue, because you're like, oh, I really don't have the money to replace the carpet, and they've only been in there for 6 months. And so sometimes, you just have to put that in your lease agreement. Anything you're worried about has to be in your lease agreement. And then they have the choice to either sign it or not, or look elsewhere.
Okay, thank you.
I will also say, if it's something above normal wear and tear, if they outright broke a window pane or something, you can deduct that from their deposit when they move out. You just have to provide receipts and reasons for the withholdings from their security deposit. You're actually not supposed to deduct for normal wear and tear, but if they've done something above and beyond normal wear and tear, I would take it out of their security deposit when they move out.
Yep. And that's what the security deposit is for. Any other questions? Well, I think we have Andrea. Go ahead.
What if you have a property manager and say you didn't get all your money for that month, and he's saying that, I paid you, but you don't see it on your bank account? How do you handle that situation?
Well, you'd have to have proof of payment.
Right.
I mean, if it's a property management company, they should be sending actual receipts and invoicing and all of that, you should have a paper trail. So there should be proof that it, you know, you'd have to, you would probably ask them, do they, well, let me ask you this. Does it normally come in the form of a check?
It's directly deposited.
Okay, it could be if it's a direct deposit that they clicked it in, and here, and this has happened a couple of times, they click it in as a deposit on their end, but for some reason there was a glitch and it didn't dump into your bank account. And if they actually go back and check, they'll see that it hasn't cleared yet. So your next step would say, I need proof that it actually cleared. And when they click it through on a direct deposit, they do get a statement on what has cleared and what has not cleared. And so you would need proof that it cleared their account. And okay. If it has cleared their account, then you're going to find out, you're going to want proof of the exact account number they sent it to. Because if it has cleared their account, it means it went somewhere and got deposited.
Okay. Thank you.
It's just like a check clearing. Those direct deposits will have a clearing statement.
Okay.
Is that helpful?
Yes. Thank you.
Yeah, I just had one where I do a short-term rental and I have to pay bed tax to my local city. And they just now told me that my October never arrived. And so I immediately went back to my direct bill pay where I electronically send them the money and it shows it has not cleared. So for some reason, there was a glitch there. And so now I can, in good faith, I can go ahead and resend the October payment because I, in fact, see that it did not clear my account.
Gotcha. Okay, thank you.
Any other questions? This has been great conversation, by the way. Well, we're about 22 minutes past our time, but it's been a great conversation. Kyle, thank you so much for all of your information. Gosh, I'm excited now. I want to go out and buy something. I got the bug. That always happens when I see these great properties. It's like, oh, I'm ready to go buy something again. I love it.
Right. Your net a little wider.
I know. And you know what? I look all the time. Now, for me, you know, talking about casting my net a little wider, for those of you that know me, know that I just bought a property down on the Ohio River for $26,000. Now, it's totally down to the studs inside, which means I'm going to spend some money putting that one back together. But again, time is of the essence. I grabbed it at $26,000. If I don't do anything but sit on it for a couple of years, I can sell it for more than $26,000, even if I don't do a darn thing to it. But every little bit that I do, and I'm going to do it out of pocket over time, it's going to be kind of a little hobby job, a little hobby project for me. And so whatever I do is going to increase the value of that property. And what I know about that Ohio River area is that the whole area is coming up. Some of those little cities are getting their Main Street USA grant money from the government. So they're going to start putting money into their little downtown areas and values are going to start climbing up slowly. And so talk about getting
on the ground. You were paying attention to business news and the money, and that informed you where to invest in real estate.
Exactly. And so I would, at this point, I would buy even more in some of those little we call them little riverboat communities. I would buy even more because here's what I know. And for some of you that are investors, here's what I know is that when these little towns get their grant money called Main Street USA, one of the criteria is that they have to bring in two festivals a year to qualify for the grant. And then the government will give them some money. And this is just an overview. It gets a lot more technical than this. But the government will give them money to dress up their downtown areas, you know, do little inlay brick in their streets and some street post lamps and, you know, and little gazebo for a little, you know, area of their town where they can have little concerts or whatever. But then part of the criteria is they have to bring in two festivals. Well, what happens is once that happens, not only do the values of everything start to climb up, but then there's some of those little river towns don't have any hotels. They don't have any place for people to go to stay over to go to those festivals. And so our plan is to purchase a few of those houses that are less desirable at the moment and fix them up and actually rent them out on a short-term basis on VRBO, which is vacation rental by owner. It's another version of Airbnb, and rent those out. And I just, even if later on I decide to sell them, I will definitely get my money back out of those properties. So yeah.
That's brilliant.
Just an idea.
Light bulb moment.
Absolutely. But I'm in no hurry because the town doesn't have their grant money yet. So it'll be probably 12 to 24 months before we start to see an increase in the value. So I have 12 to 24 months to work on that property.
Well, you are what we call an early adopter, and you stand to make the biggest profit on your early investment.
Yes, absolutely. Any other questions before we go? I think this has been a great conversation. Kyle, thank you so much for being on. And Andrea, Janice, Elise, Adrian, and we've got a phone number there. I can't see who that is because it's just a phone number. But thank you for staying on with us a little after we were supposed to be on. It's been great. Mark the third Monday of every month and join us here at 12 noon Eastern time. Okay, we'll see everybody next month, and we're going to be talking about how to fund the deal. And if you have any questions, get in touch with us, KathyBinner.com or KyleBrandon.com, and we would be happy to talk with you. See everybody next time. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.